Well, good morning. Happy Sabbath to each of you again today. My sermon title today is The End May Be Closer Than It Appears. And I didn't think of that one up myself, so I have to give credit to where it's due, wherever it came from. But anyways, the end may be closer than it appears. Today, I think that as we look at Bible prophecy and as we look at Scripture, that many of us, if we're not prepared, will be unprepared for when the day does come. And do you realize that the devil is doing anything he can, if possible, to deceive, what do we say? The very elect, to have God's church or his people unready, if you will, for his soon return. In the book of Revelation, we see four verses in the book of Revelation that specifically say that I come quickly. Three times the Bible says, "Behold, I come quickly." The other one verse just says simply, "I come quickly." You know, the book of Revelation is just about that, that Jesus is coming soon. And what do we need to have? We need to have Christ, and we need to be ready for the nearness of His return. Now, I want to turn with you, if you will, to what's been going on in our country and in our world today. In Luke chapter 21, verse 34 through 36, let's look at those verses once again. Okay, Luke 21, 34 through 36. I want to look, if you will, verse 35. "For as a snare shall it come all them that dwell on the face of" where? The whole earth. What shall come? What is the... It's a snare. Well, what is a snare? Well, a snare, if you've ever did any hunting or if you know people who have, a snare is a little trap. As you're walking through as the little bunny's running around through the bushes, he gets his leg caught in a snare, it pulls him up, and he was completely unaware, was not expecting for that snare to come. Well, now the Bible is talking to us and telling us that if we're not careful, the coming of Christ can be like a snare, caught unexpected. How many of you want to be caught unexpected? I didn't see any hands go up. How many of you want to be ready for the return of Jesus Christ? All of us want to be ready, for the most part. Now, if you look at the next verse, or continue with the rest of this verse here, verse 36, it says, "Watch therefore and do what? Watch therefore and pray." So in other words, how can you and I avoid the snare? How do we avoid the snare? By watching and by what? Praying. What did Jesus say to the disciples? Jesus, there he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, on the night that he was going to be arrested and taken to the cross or to the judgment and so forth, Jesus, when a stone throws away, he was praying at a tree or a rock. He was praying there, and he comes back and he sees the disciples sleeping. And Jesus comes back, you know the story, he comes back two or three times, and he finally tells them, "Could you not" what? "Watch with me for" what? "1 hour." You think about that for a moment. 1 hour is really a short amount of time. And we're told in counsel in the spirit of prophecy that if they would have watched, they would have not fallen into rejecting their Lord that evening. So could it be that we need to be watchful in the time in which we live? Now, let me take this one step forward here, another step forward. In the book of Revelation, the three angels' message, the Bible says the what? The hour of His what? Judgment has come. Now let's put this into proper perspective here. Jesus says to the disciples, "Could you not pray for me for 1 hour?" Friends, what hour are we living in this day? We're living in the hour of judgment. So what is the message that Jesus is proclaiming to his disciples? It is time to watch and to do what? Pray. Now is not the time to be caught up in levity of this world. Now more than ever, we should be caught up in praying and watching. Watching for what? Well, the Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 5, the devil seeks about whom he may what? Devour. He roams about. Watch and be sober, the Bible says. So be careful of the devices of the devil. The devil is apt and has a desire to lull us to sleep. I was just reading this week in our councils that the devil literally hates God's people. He hates God's people with the vengeance because he knows he has lost the battle. So the only hope that he has is to take, guess what, God's church down with him. And guess who his special interest is, his special focus? It's the Seventh-day Adventist church. The devil is after his church, or the devil is after Christ's church, if possible, to put them to sleep.
Well, notice in verse 35 once again, "For the snare shall come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to do what? To escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before" whom? "The Son of Man." In other words, as we watch and pray, we will escape what? All the things that shall come to pass. What are those things? Well, we just read it in the last song. You know, when the seventh trump sounds, we have the plagues. We have the outpouring of the plagues upon planet Earth. We can escape those things as we watch and pray. But there are some people, even in our midst here today, possibly, that will not be ready for the soon return of Jesus. That's a scary thought. So my appeal to you is, just before we get started here today, is to watch and to pray. If I die right now, watch and pray, friends. Watch and pray. Well, let's continue on here this morning. Let's look at a little bit behind the scenes of what was going on in our world just a week ago. You know, it just blows my mind where our culture is today. Everybody's so consumed about this Michael Jackson fellow who passed away. He's a dead man. He's gone. But 33 million or 31 million people viewed his memorial. That's just his memorial. In less than an hour, within minutes, the world population was informed of his death in just minutes because of the internet. People across the world began mourning. They began putting up placards. "Oh, Michael Jackson, rest in peace. Oh, Michael Jackson, we're going to miss you. Oh, Michael Jackson." They were worshiping Michael Jackson, if you will. Now, let's put this into proper perspective here. Where is the mind of our people and our culture today? More people are concerned about entertainment than their eternal existence. And do I dare say that that's very much possible for our church today? Is it possible? Yes, it is. You may not be Michael Jackson followers, but are you followers of the internet? Are you followers of the entertainment world? You see, it's the entertainment world. The devil knows that if he can lure the minds of people away from the spiritual and to lull them into debasing their thinking and their abilities, they will not readily receive spiritual things. This man, Michael Jackson, was called the King of Pop. But we have a king who is named Jesus. Amen. While the world was mourning Michael Jackson, something was going on behind the scenes. You know what happened just this last week? Let's get a little more serious here. Pope Benedict's encyclical, Charity of Truth, was published and given to the whole entirety of the Roman Catholic Church. While everybody's mourning Michael Jackson, the Pope hands out and finally finalizes and sends out to everybody his encyclical. What is an encyclical? It is the most important or authoritative document a pontiff can write. It takes the form of a letter to bishops and is meant to give what? Guidelines from the papacy to more than 1 billion Catholics around the world. He's written 4 so far since he became Pope, or he came in office. And this one is Charity of Truth, a guideline for Catholics around the world. While everybody's mourning Michael Jackson, the papacy is at work. You see, friends, it's kind of like this. I don't know what you think about magic or magic tricks and so forth. I find them interesting to watch, but I also like to figure them out, you know? I like to see how they pull the rabbit out of the hat and how that takes place. You know, most of us, most magicians in this world today really are not supernatural. They do this. You look over here while they're doing something over here. It's called sleight of hand. And in fact, if you ever watched a good magician, they will do such things, you know, and boy, they get pretty good at it. And then you come to find out, and it's almost sickening to your stomach because you're awestruck. And then once you find out how they did it, you're like, why didn't I see that? Right? David Copperfield, several years ago, made the Statue of Liberty disappear. He didn't do it. After all, he didn't actually make the Statue of Liberty disappear, but he made it appear to disappear. And of course, he does it at nighttime, right? And all they did was set up a bunch of props. And so as the lights flashed and all that stuff, it seemed that the Statue of Liberty disappeared. You get people looking over here while you do something over here. And friends, I don't find it coincidence. Matter of fact, I find it more of a conspiracy that the devil has the whole world lured into the hip-hop or the king of pop dying while the supernatural is taking place over here. And friends, if we are not careful, we'll be caught up in the exact same thing. Hey, we may not like Michael Jackson, but be careful, friends, what you are paying attention to. What did the Bible say? Watch. Do what? What did it say?
Watch.
Watch. I'm not talking about watching CNN. I'm not talking about watching all your favorite TV programs. I'm talking about watching the fulfillment of Bible prophecy, because when we do this, we know where we're at in history concerning Bible prophecy. Watch and pray that you may be able to stand. When we watch, we will be able to stand. Watching means being prepared. Well, what is in his encyclical here? In other words, he called for a new financial order with what? Teeth in it. In his encyclical, he called for a financial order with real teeth in it. Financial order? Well, let's continue on. Tuesday, he called for a radical rethinking of the what? Global economy. Wait a minute, hold on here. Since when was the Pope interested in the global economy? What concern is it of his about the United States or Europe or wherever? What does it matter to him? Well, he goes on to say, Tuesday he called for a radical rethinking of the global economy, urging the establishment of a true, catch this, world what? Political authority. This is just last week. So everybody's watching Michael Jackson, and he's publicizing these things to a true world political authority to oversee the economy and the work for the what? Common good. Well, now we have a church that's interested in the world population and interested in a political authority for the better good of humanity. Is that something to be scratching your head or maybe just a little bit nervous about? We don't want a church dictating to us how to live and what we should eat and so forth. Now, it all sounds good on the surface. It all sounds good on the surface, but then it has teeth in it, doesn't it? Well, let's continue on here. Well, in Pope Benedict's encyclical, Charity of Truth, he basically touches on these three things, or six things. Greater social responsibility. Number two, globalization, about bringing the world together. The market economy. The outsourcing, labor unions, and alternative energy. Friends, let me ask you a serious question to here. Let me ask you a sincere question today. Where in the world have we heard these things before? Help me out. Where have we heard these things before of recent? Where is that? Help me out. Where have we heard these things? Our government. Globalization. Outsourcing, market economy, and so forth. In fact, if I remember correctly, it was the United States of America that helped one of our companies out called Chrysler, the first time in history. Bail them out. Friends, are we possibly living in the last days? Well, not only does the Pope Benedict call for a reform with teeth in it, but now there's an appeal to the United Nations. Benedict also called for a reform of the United Nations. So there could be a united global political body. In other words, he appeals to the United Nations so that there can be a global political body that allowed the less powerful of the earth to have a voice, and he called on rich nations to help the less fortunate ones. But where is his appeal? To the United Nations. And where have we heard these things before? Well, in the encyclical, we have these six great social responsibility, globalization, market economy, outsourcing, labor unions, alternative energy. Friends, we've heard these things right here in our own government, the United States of America. While Obama was on his European tour wanting to win his office, I want to share a quote with you that he shared, and it's scary to me. But it's, I believe, Bible prophecy being fulfilled. Notice what he says. Now, this is quote. Burdens of global citizenship continue to bind us together. What did he say? Burdens of what? Global citizenship. Now, he's not talking about just the United States of America. He's talking about the whole entire human race. These burdens, the problems in our global problems, are burdens that bind us together, that bring us together. So where do you think he's looking at? Is he looking at just the United States of America for their better good? No, he's looking across the world. He's looking around the globe. Notice what he goes on to say here. A change of leadership in Washington will not lift this burden. Now, that's true. You know, Obama, basically what he's saying, he's, I can't do this burden. You know, I can't lift it. But we have a burden that's going on around the world. And he says this, in this new century, Americans and Europeans alike will be what? Wait a minute here. We don't like these words of Seventh-day Adventist Christians. What is he saying here? We'll be required to do more, not less. Required to do. It's not an alternative for us. It's not an option for us. It's a requirement. Well, let's continue on here. Notice, continuing on what he says, partnership and cooperation among nations. Did you catch this? Partnership and cooperation among nations is not a choice. It is the only way, the one way, to protect our what? To protect our what? Common security and advance our common what? Humanity. Wait a minute. What was the encyclical all about? The very two things. The common good of humanity and our financial problem. Now it's a global problem. And now we have to be concerned about the burdens of our people around the world. But notice this. This is what makes me scared. Globalization and security. In order to have globalization and security around our globe, it's required, not a choice, the only way, the one way. Now let's continue here tonight. This afternoon, all for the common good of humanity. On July 28, 2009, the Pope and Barack Obama met together. While the world is mourning after Michael Jackson, the Pope and the United States of America are coming together to talk about these issues. Globalization, the world economy, and so forth. Let's look at Revelation chapter 13 for just a few moments here. Revelation chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13. What does the Bible have to say about what's going on behind the scenes while the rest of the world is looking at the tabloids and the TV programs and listening to the music? Chapter 13, verse 1. I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads, 10 horns, and upon his horns, 10 crowns, and upon his head, the name of blasphemy. Now, good Seventh-day Adventist Christians this morning, who do we recognize this beast as? How do we identify it as, and who is it? Papal Rome, isn't it? Well, we go on to Revelation chapter 13, and we continue down to verse 11, and it says, I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. He had 2 horns like a lamb, and he spake as a what? A dragon. Now, who does this symbolize? The United States of America. Now, let's continue on here. In verse 12, and he exercises all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed, and he doth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, verse 14, and deceives them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound and did live. In other words, the United States of America will begin to replicate Papal Rome. And while the world is viewing the death of Michael Jackson, this is going on behind the scenes. We continue on here in verse 15. In verse 15, talking about the first beast, or the second beast, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Verse 16, and causes all, small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark on their right hand or in their foreheads, that no man might buy or sell, say he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. pray, he says, watch, that you may avoid these snares. Could it be, friends, that the end is closer than it appears? Have you been one of those that have been waiting, saying, you know, when I start seeing the signs, then I'm going to jump on the bandwagon? Or have you been saying to yourself, well, I can see another 20, 30 years down the road? Friends, the book of Luke tells us specifically in Luke 21, watch and pray. In other words, be on your guard at all times. Be ready now. Be ready now. Well, we continue on here this morning. I want to read to you a quote found in the Spirit of Prophecy. It says, by the decree of enforcing the institution of the papacy in violation of the law of God, our nation, the United States, will disconnect herself fully from righteousness. When Protestantism shall stretch her hand across where? The gulf to grasp the hand of the Roman power, when she shall reach over the abyss to clasp hands with spiritualism, when under the influence of this threefold union, our country shall repudiate every principle of its constitution as Protestant and Republican government. These are strong words. In other words, the freedoms that you and I are accustomed to right now eventually will disappear overnight. And friends, I believe it's beginning to happen right now before our eyes. And shall make provision for the propagation of papal falsehood and delusions, that when we may know that the time has come for the marvelous working of Satan, and that the end is what? The end is what?
Near.
I'm not done yet. Through the two great errors, the immortality of the soul and what? Sunday sacredness. We just read in Revelation 13 that the second beast will make an image to the first. And what is the image? Sunday sacredness. Causing all to accept and to worship the first. Well, we can go on and give you all kinds of quotes. Well, the papacy themselves, or the Catholicism themselves, tells us very clearly. They say, look, the whole Protestant world, by thus observing the first day of the week, bowed down to the papacy. In other words, they're the ones that have established, they're the ones that created first day sacredness, Sunday sacredness. And what are we talking about here? The previous quote here, it says, shall repudiate every principle of his constitution as a Protestant and Republican government and make provision for the propagation of papal what? Falsehoods. In other words, papal falsehoods are going to be established where? In the United States of America. And on July 8th, Barack Obama and Pope Benedict, whatever number he is, met together. People under his deceptions, while the former lays the foundation of spirituals and the latter creates a bond of sympathy with Rome, the Protestants of the United States will be foremost. What does it say there? The Protestants of where? The United States will be what? Foremost. What? Foremost. In other words, I put it this way, ahead of the rest of the world in making this coalition together. The United States of America will be the ones foremost in reaching its hand across the great abyss. The United States will be foremost in stretching their hands across the gulf to grasp the hands of spiritualism. They will reach over the abyss to clasp the hands with Roman power. And under the influence of this threefold union, this country will follow in the steps of Rome in trampling the rights of what? Conscience. Friends, are we prepared for this soon return? Papists, Protestants, and worldling will alike accept the form of godliness without the what? Let me pause here for just a moment. We'll accept the form, but without its power. You see, friends, unless we have Christ formed within us now, we are not all of a sudden going to have that power within us when the time of trouble comes. We must be exercising the authority and the power of Jesus daily in our principal life, not waiting for something supernatural to happen. We must be experiencing Jesus today. Now is the time. Not tomorrow, not next day. Now is the time we need Jesus Christ in the heart. When our nation, the union of form of godliness without the power, they will see in this union a grand movement for the conversion of what? The world. It starts with the United States of America and the papacy for a conversion of the entire world and the ushering in of the long expected what? Millennium. Somebody just mentioned that this morning. You know, the great rapture. People are going to be raptured. The millennium begins. Everybody gets a second chance. We continue on here. When our nation, the United States, shall abjure the principles of its government to enact a Sunday law, Protestantism will in this act join hands with what? Popery. It will be nothing else than giving the life to the tyranny which has long been eagerly watching its opportunity. Don't sit back and think that the papacy is way over there in Europe and in Rome doing nothing. It's anticipating. It's waiting. It's looking for the opportunity. And friends, could it be that last week, July 8th, was the beginning of the opportunity? And many of us are caught up in the luxuries and the fine things of this life, and things are going on behind the scenes and we're not paying attention. Continue on here. The tyranny which has long been eagerly watching its opportunity to spring again into active despotism. In other words, they have been eagerly waiting to move into place. Turn with me back, if you will, to Luke chapter 21. I want to make our appeal here tonight, or this afternoon, this morning, whatever time it is. Luke 21 and verse 34. We have been talking about it. We have been preaching about it. We have been mentioning for 165 years now, Jesus is coming soon. Jesus is coming soon. Jesus is coming soon. And you know, I think sometimes our voices become faint, maybe even hoarse. We get tired of mentioning the same thing over and over again. Jesus is coming, we used to proclaim. And then it was, Jesus is coming. And now it's kind of whispered, Jesus is coming. Have we lost our enthusiasm? Have we lost our desire? Have we lost what is needed for this time to go and to preach to the world that Christ is coming soon? And the Bible is reminding us that the hour is here. The hour is now, more than any time in history. Now is the time to be watching. Now is the time to be praying. Jesus goes on to say here of Luke 21, verses 34 and onward, take heed to yourself, lest any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting. I looked that up one time. I had to see what it says in the Greek. It basically means an overeating. Indulgence of the appetite. And do I dare say here today, may I challenge us as a Christian organization, may I challenge us as a Seventh-day Adventist Church, God has blessed the Seventh-day Adventist Church with a health message, and we would do good to follow and put it into application in our personal lives. Why so? Because when the body is clear, when the stomach is free to do its work, and the mind not so clouded with overconsumption, we are able to understand and to comprehend spiritual things. I don't know about you, friends, but I want to comprehend spiritual things. Well, just for a moment here, let me pick on all of us here, because I'm just as guilty as the next. I like sugar. But we know overconsumption of sugar clouds the mind. They're telling us more and more today that sugar is just as addictive as cocaine. Friends, is it time to give up some of these things that we don't need on our dinner tables? I'm not saying that you have to give up ice cream completely or you can't eat a cookie. I'm not saying that. But let us be careful. Take care of our bodies. Then he goes on to say, with drunkenness, overcharged with suffering and drunk, or surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, so that the day may come upon you unawares. Drunkenness. Now, overconsumption of what? The stuff of this world. It's amazing to me how many of us may be so concerned about having our flat screen TVs rather than having Jesus. It's amazing. I can walk through Walmart there. Don't get me wrong. I like to go to Walmart. But boy, you go by those big screens and you see $2,000 for a TV. $2,000 for a TV. And I'm thinking to myself, why in the world do you need a $2,000 TV? Now, granted, I've been tempted. You know, I said, wouldn't that be great to watch 3ABN on? You know? Wouldn't that be great to watch one of my favorite programs or the Nature Channel and all that stuff? What's the big deal? I can still see it on a 26-inch screen, right? The world is caught up in consumption of things. And you know, we talk about the recession, but you know, I've been by Walmart, and I've been by Best Buy and all those things. Parking lots are filled. Where are our priorities in which the time in which we live, friends? Where are our priorities? Well, it continues to go on to say here, in the cares of this life. You see, friends, in the cares of this life, if we are not careful, we can be consumed about the welfare of our own being and the money value versus what our spiritual needs are. In other words, we don't need to be so wrapped up in concern where our next meal is going to come from or where our next dollar bill is going to come from. What we need to be more concerned about is our relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what's most important. Because Jesus promised us, God promised us, the Holy Spirit promised us that when we submit to Him, He will take care of His children. He will provide for their needs. Well, it continues to go on to say, the coming of Jesus will catch us off guard. And we will not stand there on the day of judgment and say, Lord, why didn't you tell me? He will say to you, I have given you everything you need to know for your eternal salvation. For as a snare will come on them that dwell on the face of the whole earth, watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Watch and pray. Watching and praying brings us into a relationship, into the presence of Jesus, God the Father. It brings us into that sphere. It takes us away from the cares of this life. It takes us from the burdens of this life. And I don't know about you, but any person that I would like to stand in front of is Jesus. Because it's Jesus who represents me in the kingdom of heaven. And when I come to Him and I confess my sins and I confess my faults, Jesus will take those sins and He will blot them out of the books of heaven because of His blood that He applied for you and I while He was here on earth. In order for us to escape, friends, we need Jesus. Watch ye therefore and pray that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. Friends, today, have you let the cares of this life, the burdens of this life, have you been overfilled with the drunkenness of this life? Have you let things interfere with your walk with Jesus Christ? My appeal to all of us here today, my appeal to you, my appeal to myself even, is come into the presence of Jesus so that we will not be caught off guard. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank You for each person in this congregation today. But Lord, as we see the nearness of Your coming, maybe today we were caught off a little bit off guard, realizing that prophecy is being fulfilled under our very feet, before our very eyes. And the devil has us pondering and looking at and worrying about other things in this life rather than our spiritual. It is my desire today for myself and for this congregation that we will do whatever it is within our power and our ability to prepare for Your soon return. Not by what we do, but what is formed within us, the renewing of our heart and mind. Today, Lord, I want to make an appeal to this congregation, each one where they're standing, that Jesus, that You would speak to each heart, that You would pour out Your Spirit and touch each life here today. Maybe, Lord Jesus, there is something in this life that one of us has held on to that we need to let go of. Maybe You're asking us, Lord, to do more for You in Your service in which we haven't done before. Maybe, Lord, you're asking of us, Lord, to organize our lives and to put in proper place what we should be doing and how we go about them. Maybe, Lord, You're asking us to give up more of our money, to put into the offering plate so that we can further the work that needs to be done. Maybe, Lord, You're asking us to finally speak to our neighbor or to a friend or to communicate the gospel to an unknown person that You may impress upon our hearts. Maybe, dear Jesus, You're asking us to stretch our hands across the aisles, the pews, into persons' homes, and to make things right with each other. Maybe You're asking us, Lord, to give up that sin Whatever it may be today, I pray, Jesus, that You would press heavy upon the heart and the mind of each person. Not for the betterment so that we look better, or another person looks better, or even our church looks good, but so that we can have a confident assurance of salvation and hope that's found in only You. Thank You, Jesus, for dying on the cross of Calvary to give us eternal life. May we, Lord Jesus, be ready for this day. Help us, Lord, to watch and to pray. Help us to read the Bible. Help us to study the Bible. Help us, Lord, to pray. And Lord, if we have fallen in these areas, please forgive us. Please save us, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Mm-hmm.